Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
The story you're about to hear on Love, Lust, Fear is true. Some names, places, and other identifying details may have changed to protect the storyteller. Love, Lust, Fear may contain graphic language and depictions of sensitive situations. Please listen with caution. Next on Love, Lust, Fear.
I can't really say that I had a whole lot of great male role models. I thought that it was going to be like a romance novel because, you know, he painted that picture for me. We didn't have boundaries between him and I. Those didn't exist. He would wake up and decide that he wanted to be mad at me for something that he dreamt about, and he would take it out on me. I did not trust my own judgment. So if he hit me and said, "Well, you brought it on yourself," I would be like, "You know, maybe I did." I was sick all the time. My hair was falling out. I had been suicidal, and I didn't feel like I had anyone or anywhere to go because I was ashamed. I've had the police tell me, "We don't believe you. We don't believe you because you kept going back. You are trying to protect him."
Caitlin had a tough childhood, shouldering adult responsibilities early on and becoming adept at people-pleasing. She spent her youth stifling her emotions, immersed in a world where toxic personalities were the norm. And then in her late teens, when she began dating, she found herself moving from one toxic situation to another. But after meeting a promising new guy in high school and forming an intense friendship, they parted ways under tragic circumstances. Years later, he re-enters her life, leading her to believe it's destiny. However, she soon realizes that the trauma is still present, and his bad behavior is now amplified. Despite expecting love and affection, she finds herself in a situation marked by sexual assault, gunplay, and the normalization of violence.
I grew up in a really small town, really small. My biological father and my mother, they were divorced, and he wasn't really around. I had my stepdad, who I would refer to as my father for all intents and purposes. I mean, he raised me. I had a lot of abandonment issues from my biological father. My mother wasn't very affectionate when I got older. There was just a lot of things that I needed emotionally when I was developing that I didn't get. I was relied on pretty heavily as a kid. And my mom was in school, like, you know, so I was like 10 years old, babysitting my baby sister, cleaning the things that, you know, I experienced. What it manifested to me being young was, if you have emotions, that's bad. Your emotions don't matter. I had to downplay them or ignore them or just act like they weren't there. If I would get angry, I wasn't allowed to be angry. It's very confusing. I was at a very young age privy to people pleasing very early. It was my responsibility as a young child to watch what I said or did so I didn't upset anyone. I can't really say that I had a whole lot of great male role models. My dad has his own toxic tendencies, and it definitely rubbed off on me as far as relationships go. There are a lot of things that I thought were okay, and it turns out they were not. I don't have a very good relationship history. I was definitely more vulnerable with the people that I dated. I was very codependent on them. And I did try to be more vulnerable with them. But since they were not healthy either, they would definitely take my vulnerability and they would play and use it against me to get what they ultimately wanted. There were consequences for me not fitting what they wanted from me. I didn't know how to not be in a toxic relationship. I didn't know how to function. I had like one boyfriend in high school. It was like my high school boyfriend, so it wasn't anything. You know, that was a first heartbreak. When that ended, I started dating him when I was 19. I was controlled in many ways, financially, sexually, mentally. Like, he was very sex driven, and it turns out he had been raping me in my sleep. I was on a lot of medication because I couldn't sleep. And so there was no way for me to consent or anything. I only knew because of the physical evidence that he left behind. He held his gun under my chin. That was a big buildup. He was very taunting. He used to taunt me all the time. I couldn't take a shower by myself. Like, I would have the water faucet on and just use the water faucet to take a shower because I was so afraid of somebody coming in. We didn't have boundaries. Between him and I, those didn't exist. I cannot stress to you how much I loved this person so much. He quite literally punched me in the face and I still was like, oh, but he loves me. Like, I was that naive. Like, when you love somebody like this, you don't need boundaries. That was my thought process of it. Part of it was like, if I'm going to get out, I'm going to get out now while I feel this way. I don't want to be here anymore. I have like hit my enough is enough. It was almost like a moment of bravery came over me. I went into robot mode. I was just like, whatever I have to do to get out of this, I'm going to get out of it. My brain would always just like, this is horrible and this is wrong, but there's this, this, and this, or this couldn't have happened because there was so much manipulation. That stopped. My brain finally stopped talking. And the only thing that it had to say was, we're leaving. So like, there was no more fighting back and forth with what I wanted to do. So when I left that 8.5 year relationship, so many things were happening and I never got the chance to go, whoa, slow down. What just happened? I never got the chance to just do that. I first met him when I was 17. He had already been graduated. He knew one of my best friends in school. And she was kind of a promiscuous girl, not to shame, but I was just going through my first heartbreak, that one boyfriend. And she told me about this guy. She was like, you have to go out with him. She wanted me to hook up with him because she did. And she said it was fun and he was great and he'll help me get over my breakup. Back when I was 17, like, we didn't date, but we were inseparable. That was my best friend. We did everything together. He became the first man that I actually trusted with everything. He could do nothing wrong. We were attached at the hip. We hooked up a lot and stuff. People used to say all the time, like, you guys need to get together. And like, we just never did. We were close and everything. And there was a lot of toxic things that had happened. He used to like make me watch really uncomfortable videos, really uncomfortable pornography, very violent type of almost like horror movie type stuff. And he would just have it on. Just randomly, he would grab me by my neck and throw me up against something and like hold me there. It was almost like a shock and awe thing. And like, he would do it to get a reaction out of other people. And then he would be like, no, it's okay. She likes it. We had no boundaries. The way that I trusted him, it was like, deep down, yeah, I didn't like it. Deep down, I was afraid, but it's him. That was my rational brain was, it was him. And when I stopped speaking with him, the reason I stopped speaking with him was because he was upset that I was dating someone else. And he came over to my parents' house to see me and talk to me about it. And instead, he raped me in the driveway and recorded it and then sent it to my new boyfriend, went into detail about what he did, and then told me that he did that for my own good because, you know, he was doing what was best for me. And ultimately, that new boyfriend, he was like, you have to choose me or him. And I felt so betrayed. I chose that new boyfriend, and I blocked his number, and I never looked back. And then for 8.5 years, he wasn't in my life. I tried to see a therapist once about it. I told her, I'm like, he is on my mind 24/7. And she's like, he really isn't. And I'm like, no, he is. I was always thinking about him. When he came back into my life, at first I was really like, nope, I don't want anything to do with you. You need to go away. But it started to become a thing where I'm like, no, I want him here. I want to talk to him. And so when we reconnected, I felt like that was where I was supposed to be. I've never really felt something like that. A soulmate like that, I truly believe that's what it was. He was the kind of guy that it didn't matter what he was doing. If I yelled his name and ran, I knew he would catch me. He was always going to catch me. I'm like, oh, well, that's enough of a reason for me to trust him because no one else has ever done this for me. I did not trust my own judgment. So if he hit me and said, well, you brought it on yourself, I would be like, you know, maybe I did. And we rekindled and we sat down and we talked about why I left in the first place. And his justifications of it. He said, well, I really thought that I was doing the right thing. I was mad at you and maybe I did it the wrong way. Like, you know, it was kind of like, okay, so we were both wrong. It was just easily justified. So at that point, I was like, I know that I wasn't perfect. I know that I did this and that and whatever. So let's finally stop kidding ourselves and let's just be together. I loved him so much and he agreed with me, like, you're my soulmate, you're the person, we're going to be together. So I thought when we got together, I really thought that it was, even with all the drama, like, I thought, well, we're finally together. It's going to be nothing but sunshine and roses. I was like, well, when I move in with him, then he'll love me the most. Then it'll be all about me. We moved in and like, we just wanted to start living our lives together. Like, I thought that it was going to be a romance novel because, you know, he painted that picture for me. There was not much of a change at all. The things that had started happening, they were just more extreme. It was almost double what it was the first time around. Day to day, there was a lot put on me. He didn't want to do anything. He didn't want to be responsible for his child. He didn't want to be responsible for my dog or me. He just wanted to go to work and that was pretty much it. There were times that he was very cold, not talk to me for hours, sometimes days, wouldn't speak to me. And if he wanted sex, he had to get it. And the strange videos, he would make me have sex with him while he watched these either very vulgar cartoons or like very just disturbing things. And like, he would make me watch them, like any way that he could spike my anxiety throughout the day or, you know, weeks and stuff, like he would do it. He would wake up and decide that he wanted to be mad at me for something that he dreamt about, and he would take it out on me. I felt like a punching bag, honestly. I really felt like a punching bag. He stole my car, and I tried to get the keys back, and the whole time I was trying to get the keys back, he was fighting me. Like, he fractured both my thumbs. I hit my head. He choked me out in the parking lot. We fought throughout the whole parking lot. He called the police on me and said I was drunk. Everybody in my life was like, what are you doing? You are out of your mind. But when I was with him, we would hang out with his friends, and his friends would sit there and gush about how much he loved me and how much he knew about me. Like, you guys look so great together. It was very black and white. It was never like in between. It was one extreme to the other. And then like, he would also do other things to embarrass me. I had a dress. He wore my dress out for guys' night in public and was taking pictures and sending them to me and then posting them online, telling me that he looked better in my dress than I did. He liked to play the game that made me question how much my parents loved me. But when you're in that moment and you feel so misunderstood and you're talking to someone who you trust with everything, when they rationalize something to you, when you keep hearing that after so long, it got to that point where I felt so insecure with my own gut feelings that I started to believe almost anything from him. The thing that made me go, this isn't okay, is when he hurt my dog. I don't have children. He's all I had. That was my baby, and you hurt my baby deliberately. And there's nothing that you can say to justify this. And so at that point, I was so upset. I was so depressed. I felt so guilty. I was sick all the time. My hair was falling out. I had been suicidal. Like, and I didn't feel like I had anyone or anywhere to go because I was ashamed. I'm like, everybody told me that this was a bad idea. And now I'm sitting here like, I have no idea what I'm going to do. No matter how badly I want to trust him, I will never be able to trust you again. He violated that. But getting away from him, that was easier said than done. He wasn't going to give up without a fight. When I left, I had packed up my stuff and I was staying with a friend. I was terrified. And I think what scared me the most was how confused I was emotionally. And I caved a lot. I caved a lot, and I would spend time with him and then I would pull away. And I've been told that I baited him, but really, like, it was, well, he's not going away. And I had called the police. I had called the police on him before. We had a paper trail. I've had the police tell me, we don't believe you. We don't believe you because you kept going back. You are trying to protect him. It was very much a, well, what did you do to make that happen? Like, if he hit me, it was, well, what did you do to make him hit you? They're like, yeah, he's abusive, but you're the problem. When I moved out, I never moved back. At that point, I felt very just, I wasn't enjoying being with him. That trust was gone. It was such a painful, it had such a heavy impact on me. I didn't know how to function and I didn't want to function. I was mentally exhausted. I had just had enough. I felt like a ghost. That's how it felt. He showed up at my job quite a few times. They had to put locks on the doors. We had to have special keys so, you know, we could monitor who comes in and out. Or if I was going to the store, sometimes I would get out of my car and he would just be there. he hacked my social media accounts and was posting private conversations. He was bashing me and bad-mouthing me online. He was getting a hold of like my friends, and he showed up at my parents' house and tried to fight my dad and my mom. I felt like everything that he had done to me, I did it to me. I didn't believe myself. There was so much victim blaming on my end and so much on myself. It's been a couple of years. It was stupid little stuff. Like he got another number and he would butt dial me. It was almost like, I want her to hear what I'm doing, or I want her to think it was an accident. I would get messages from people, like a girl or something that claimed to be his friend. It wasn't a girl. It was him pretending to be a girl. I moved 2 hours away. I changed my location. I changed almost everything about myself, but I finally feel like I'm in a place where I'm actually safe. I have people in my life now that they don't want to hear sides of the story. They don't care. Finally, there's people in my life that are like, they can't be manipulated by him, or they don't want to be. So it's that sort of belief, people believing in me like that.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app, with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
When I spoke with Caitlin, I asked her about the isolation she felt in these toxic relationships and about blurring the lines between the private and public abuse she endured.
He was just really trying to blur those lines as much as he could get away with doing. There was a lot of parking lots that I was cornered in. And when you're in a public place like that, and there's people walking by, even police officers, and nobody looked up. There was only one time ever that someone actually cared enough. And it was another girl, and she was walking to her car, and he had me cornered in my car, and she saw me. And she looked at me and I saw her mouth the words, "Are you okay?" And I nodded my head. I said I was okay. And he was like, "Did she just ask you if you were okay?" And I said, "Yes." And he was like, "Unbelievable. All of the sudden, because we're arguing in the parking lot, I'm suddenly attacking you." He couldn't believe that another woman was trying to look out for another woman. Being in a situation like this, it's very, very lonely, which I think is one of the reasons why victims stay with their abusers, is because they feel so alone. They don't feel like they have anyone else.
I also wondered how moving from one relationship to the next without any downtime to process the abuse she'd been through might have impacted her choices.
I left one bad relationship for another bad relationship. I guess I just chose the lesser of two evils, in my opinion, because in my opinion, I was like, well, he's not raping me in my sleep. There's these things that are not happening. It was almost like I got to pick the lesser of two evils. I think the most exploring that I did was just piecing together everything that I remembered. Basically just trying to figure out what parts of that relationship was wrong. I wasn't in therapy. I wasn't seeing doctors or anything. I had tried to see a therapist. We just didn't mesh. And so I knew that I was upset. I had no idea what trauma meant.
I was also curious about what romance looks like to her now.
It took me a long time to get out of everybody's bad. So I will say dating me, it takes a very strong person and somebody that is very forgiving. And I am learning, and the person I'm with, they are learning with me. They are learning how to navigate this relationship just as much as I'm learning how to navigate it and navigate my own life. I gotta commend them because it takes a lot, because I'll wake up some days and be like, you are public enemy number one, because that's just, you know, like I'm just like, you were breathing in my direction wrong. That is too close to what I remember. So you are toxic and bad. And they are like, okay, I'm going to go outside. And then they'll come back in and be like, so I love you. Can I have a hug? And I'll be like, what? Like, you still love me? Like, okay, I'll hug you. It's learning what healthy is.
And finally, I wanted to know how therapy has been helping her and what goals she's aiming for along her healing journey.
I had to get stripped of everything that I'd ever known. I got stripped down to those basic emotions that we get when we're children, those emotions. In therapy, it was like, you think you understand guilt, but you need to learn just happiness. You need to learn just sadness. Like it's a lot of learning my emotions and where those emotions belong. Now I'm in the point in my therapy where I'm trying to find a balance. I didn't understand my emotions, so I didn't feel them. Now I feel my emotions and I don't know how to regulate my emotions. Especially as an emotional woman, like I could get one emotion stuck in my head all day and it could distract me from everything I have to do. So it's just a lot of finding that balance and learning how to regulate and deal with my emotions.
After Caitlin grew up surrounded by unhealthy relationship dynamics, suppressing her emotions, she claimed that she didn't know how to express them adequately. She struggled in romantic relationships, mistakenly believing that love meant sacrificing boundaries. And after she bravely left abusive situations and toxic partners behind, she was fortunate to find ways to heal by taking proactive steps, now focusing on self-reprogramming, striving for healthier relationships with her partner and with herself, while gaining a deeper understanding of who she truly is. Now armed with a deeper understanding of herself, she can navigate the complexities of relationships and what she needs to function healthily and happily. Until next time, I'm Jake Deptula, and this is Love, Lust, Fear. Every guest featured on Love, Lust, Fear selects a charity or organization to share. Please check the show notes on this episode for more details. If you or someone you know is being abused by a partner, there is help available. The National Domestic Violence Hotline provides essential tools and support to help survivors of domestic violence. Just call 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 1-800-799-7233. Or you can text START to 88788. If you'd like to be a guest on Love, Lust, Fear and share your personal dating and relationship story, you can email us at lovelustfearpod@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram at lovelustfearpod. Disclaimer: the information shared on this podcast should not be considered as professional advice or a substitute for seeking professional advice.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.